Good to see each one out tonight. We realize you could have been somewhere else, and you're taking the time to come. We thank you so much for coming. If you have your Bibles, turn with me tonight to Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, and we're going to begin at verse 46. While you're turning there, let me just take a moment to say thank you for everyone who's been praying for us in the past days, and Mom's home going. You never know what it meant to us. So many people have come up to us and sent cards and calls, food. We appreciate it so much. We thank you. Mark's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth for thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. Turn with me again to Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. We're going to read several passages of Scripture tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verse 11. Luke 17, verse 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verse 21. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Cana came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil." Again, over to Matthew 17, just over a page, and verse 14. Matthew 17 and verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came unto him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. One final portion in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. and in hell. He lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he might dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he might testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Sure, the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts tonight. If I was to put a title on the message tonight, it would be Five Cries for Mercy. Five Cries for Mercy. And I was to take a text tonight, it would be from Luke 18 and 13. And it's that publican who's standing afar off and would not even lift his eyes toward heaven and said, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Friend, at the beginning of the message, we pray that that will be your cry tonight. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And I'll tell you, he will be. Since he's abundantly able to say. You know, the stories that we looked at tell us that God delighted in mercy. God is rich in mercy. Paul tells us that in the book of Ephesians. Mercy means forbearance, kindness, compassion, pity. Isn't God been that way to you tonight? He's been long-suffering, isn't he? You'll have to agree with me tonight. He's been kind to you. He's been compassionate. He's lengthened out the day of grace another night where you could be saved. What are you going to do about it tonight? I trust you won't put it off another night. Mercy must never be shown at the expense of justice. Therefore, it's based on sacrifice, isn't it? That sacrifice we see there on the cross where the Lord Jesus Christ took our place. And there God was satisfied as he placed my sin and your sin upon his son, that he might be able to show you and me mercy tonight. Have you ever accepted that gift of mercy? We pray that you will tonight. First story we read was about Bartimaeus. And here in that story we see a man with a need. A man with a need. He was blind. You know the scripture says that the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You're here tonight without Christ. Satan has blinded your eyes in many different ways tonight. He's blinded your eyes by means of pleasure. The pleasures of sin that only last for a season. He's got your eyes blinded tonight by that. Satan blinds your eyes by telling you got a lot of time. Seems to win over about that one a lot. And I believe it'd be more people in hell tonight. There's more people there tonight because they put off accepting Christ than for any other reason. Plenty of time. This man had a need. He's blind. So does everyone that comes into the world. But also this man had a knowledge of the need. He knew he was blind. I don't think it's a person in this gathering tonight who doesn't know whether they're saved or lost. I think you know your need tonight. And if you're without Christ, you know that you're in need of a Savior. You're in need of His mercy tonight. Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not only did this man have a need, not only did this man have a knowledge of his need, but this man was determined to have that need met. Friends, if you're here without Christ tonight, I pray that's why you came tonight. To have that need met. That greatest need that mankind can ever have. And that's the need to have your sins forgiven. If you come determined to have that need met tonight, God will meet it. God will meet it. But if you just come to another meeting to listen at the music and just hear the word and go out, that need will not be met. I pray that you come determined to have that need met. You know, Bartimaeus was blind to the beauties of nature. He couldn't see the beautiful sky, the beautiful water, the beautiful flowers. Blind to the beauties of nature. You're without Christ tonight, let me say that you're blind to the beauties of Christ. You're blind to His salvation, what it could do for you tonight. You're blind to the peace that He can give you tonight. I trust that you'll move, as it were, that veil from your eyes. And you will see His salvation offered tonight. That mercy that He freely would give. But you have to notice that opportunity, Anne. It was Christ's last time in Jericho. Friend, I don't know if it's God's last time that He'll speak to you or He'll pass this way. I appreciated that Him so much tonight. Jesus is passing this way. I don't know if it'll be the last time He'll pass your way. But I know this, that many people have been in a gospel meeting like this and heard the gospel for the last time and went out into eternity lost. You could be that person. I don't know that. You could be in eternity in the next minute. Where would it be? It'd either be heaven or hell. And it says in verse 47, when he heard of Jesus' power to heal and to forgive, he cried out for mercy. How many times here tonight have you heard? How many times have you heard that Christ has the power to heal? That Christ has the power to forgive? How many times? Over and over again. Bartimaeus was determined. He would not let it pass by. No one, it says, could silence him. He knew his need. He says, it's mercy on me. You know, it's an individual matter tonight. It's not the one sitting beside you tonight. It's not your wife. It's not your husband. It's not your children. It's you. Have mercy on me. It's an individual matter. And it says, Jesus stood still. The mighty God who spoke the world into beings with the word of His power. Stand still, the blind man. Friend, I'll tell you tonight, if you call out for mercy, He'll stand still again. And He will say, like He said to Bartimaeus, come. Come. Sometimes used to sing when I was a young boy, C-O-M-E, come. That's all He asked of me. He did all the work that's not to do for me. There on Calvary's cross, He died for all my sin. And all He asked of you to do is C-O-M-E, come. I could see Brother Aziel right now, speaking to the tourists, and giving that little acrostic and come. C is for children. O is for the older folk. M is for the middle age. E is for everyone. He's asking you tonight to come. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come. That's something to do. Just come. All you that labor and are heavy laden, those who are burdened with sin, something to do is come. Something to leave is your burden of sin tonight. And something to receive says, I'll give you rest. Don't you want that rest? That peace tonight? That He alone can give? Says in verse 50, He cast away His garments. He wasn't going to let anything hold Him back. Friend, if you're here again without the Savior, what's holding you back tonight? What's holding you back from coming? Why not put it aside, cast it away, and run to the Savior? He has open arms waiting for you to come. The Lord said, what wilt thou, Bartimaeus? Lord, that I might receive my sight. Oh, I pray that that would be your desire tonight, to receive that spiritual sight. Says, and immediately he received His sight. I'll tell you, if you cry out, the moment you cry, you will receive eternal life. Secondly, we read about those 10 lepers. Leprosy is a type of sin in the Scripture. We all know that. Leprosy speaks of being unclean. It says, and they stood afar off. You know, that's what sin will do. Sin will cause you to wander and go further and further away from God. Just like that prodigal son. Wander into the far country. And then, if you don't repent, you'll find yourself in hell forever. Sin will take you further than you want to go. No one ever took the first drink and intended that it would make them an alcoholic. They would be an alcoholic. No one ever took the first drugs and thought they would be a drug addict. You see, sin will take you further than you want to go. And now, tonight, they're out there and they're going further than they wanted to go. And there's no hope apart from Jesus Christ. But my friend, there's hope in Him tonight. Their cry, they lifted up their voice. It was a humble cry. Have mercy. Have mercy on me. You know, the Lord told them to go and show themselves to the high priest, plural. Showing it was different nationalities. It was Jew and it was Samaritan. It shows that sin has no respecter of persons. The rich, the poor. It doesn't matter. Sin is no respecter of persons. And the Savior bids them come and receive. He's bidding you that tonight, to come and to receive as His Savior. We read the story of the Canaanitish woman. As far as we know, it's the first time the Lord Jesus ever moved out of Palestine during His public ministry. And He's going through Tyre and Sidon. And this woman meets Him. She says, her request is twofold. Lord, have mercy on me and my daughter. Mercy on her and healing for her daughter. And the Lord, remember what the Lord said to her, you know. She said, you have no right to come. You are a Gentile. I have no right to give the Jewish bread to the Gentiles or to the dogs. That's not right. And you know, that was not right either for Him to do that for us. There's only one ground tonight that we could have eternal life, and it's through redemption tonight. I trust tonight that you will come. You will come. You see, it's here that God shows this woman mercy, and she didn't deserve it. He makes it clear that she didn't deserve it, and she realizes, she says, I know, Lord, but help me. Friend, I know you realize tonight you don't deserve mercy, but if you cry like that woman, Lord, I know that. But I plead for your mercy. Keep it short. The psalmist says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. See, he's willing to show mercy tonight, if you would come. He says he's plenteous in mercy in that psalm. And he says his mercy is high as the heaven is above the earth. So great is his mercy tonight, if you would come and receive it. Yes, it was twofold. For her and for her daughter's healing. Helpless to do a thing. Depending on the Lord. Lord, help me. Oh, I pray that would be your cry tonight, says in the Lord. Immediately, healed her daughter. We looked at the demon-possessed son. Says, Lord, have mercy on my son. As I read that story, I sort of like we would say here, cold bumps came over me. He says, Lord, he often falleth into the fire and often into the water. What a mess we see that sin can do and what Satan can do with a life. The boy must have been disfigured. Some might have children like that tonight. You see what sin has done. It's marred their life. Again, sin will take you further than you want to go. An example of suffering caused by sin. Have mercy on him, O Lord. Remember, after that, the Lord did show mercy. And the Lord did heal his son. I didn't read all the story. But the disciples came and said, Lord, how come we could heal him? He says, this cometh by much fasting and much faith. You see, they couldn't be healed because of their unbelief. And friend, tonight, if you're not saved, it's only one reason tonight, and that's because of your unbelief. Of you not receiving the Lord Jesus. But he says, whosoever will come as a little child, they could find mercy. Why couldn't we heal him, Lord? They didn't have the power, but God says with me, the Lord said with me, all things are possible. With man, it was impossible. Friend, however deep you're going into sin tonight, and I don't know your life, but however deep you're going, the story of this demon-possessed boy shows that God can save you tonight. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Finally, we come to the last story tonight. It's a story that we're all familiar with tonight. It's a story we don't like to talk too much about, but we can't overlook it. You know, friends, the first four we looked at tonight received mercy. They received mercy because they asked in time. But this last man we're going to look at as we close the meeting tonight, it's the rich man. He never received mercy because he waited till it was too late. Is that going to be your case tonight? Are you going to put it off until it's too late? And you're out into eternity and there's no hope? God will show you mercy in time. But there will be no mercy after you leave this life. We're going to see that in a moment with the rich man. You read that story, you see two lives, two deaths, two destinies. You say, well, Freddie, that's just a story, just a parable. That really didn't happen, my friend. That happened. It says there was a certain rich man. Don't fool yourself with that. And the Lord used names there. Lazarus, Abraham, Moses. It was a true story. And he's trying to warn those who are lost that hell is real. It's horrible. Two lives. Rich man has everything this world can offer. Lazarus has nothing. A beggar. Let me say without going any further, that rich people will be in heaven. And beggars will be in hell. The rich man didn't go to hell because he was rich. Neither did the beggar go to heaven, to heaven because he was poor. The rich man went to hell because he rejected God, his son. And that's the only way you'll go out into eternity lost, if you reject Christ. There were two deaths. Lazarus died and was carried. The rich man died and just was buried. Two destinies. Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. The rich man is in hell and he begs for one drop of water, not even a cup. Just one drop. But my friend, there's no request granted in hell. No mercy there. No request granted in hell. One drop, and that rich man is waiting for that drop of water still and will wait for it throughout eternity. What a place to be. You know, it never said that that rich man committed any grave sin. But he only lived for himself and he left God out of his life. That was his condemnation. Lazarus means God has helped. Certainly man did help him. Look at his destitution. He desired to be fed with the crumbs of the rich man. You know, it doesn't say that he even got them. He just desired them. Probably didn't even get the crumbs. But now look at it. In Abraham's bosom, at the table where there's plenty. And the rich man is in hell. With nothing for an eternity. The rich man begs for mercy again. It's too late. Someone has said they'd rather beg bread on earth than to beg for water in hell, because you might get bread on earth, but you'll never get a drop in hell. Abraham reminds him, "Ah, look, in your past, good things." Abraham reminds him that Lazarus passed. He has evil things. He has nothing. Abraham reminds him of the present. Says, "You're now tormented. But look at Lazarus. He's comforted. He's comforted." Then he becomes a bit evangelistic. "Oh, send Lazarus. I don't want my brethren to come in. Send Lazarus. Don't you think you're going to have company in hell? You know company there. There'll be a crowd there, but there'll be no companionship there like that impotent man around the pool of Bethesda. He had a crowd, but no one to help." Abraham's reply is this: "They have Moses and the prophets." Says, "And they won't believe though one rose from the dead." Friend, they don't still believe today. Jesus Christ went on that cross and died and rose again, and people still don't believe today. Then it ends up, Abraham tells him, reminds him of the place he's in. He's a place where he can't get any water and can see rivers of it. That's enough hell. Can't even get a drop. It reminds him of the flames. Then he can see the sight of the righteous. Friend, I believe tonight, those who are gone out this life without Christ, they could see, I believe they could look up and see their loved ones in heaven. And that's enough hell to know how they tormented and they rejoiced. To have that to face throughout eternity. And the memories, you'll remember exactly what every word I've said here tonight. And you could have missed it, but you put it off until it was too late. And then to realize you're in a hopeless situation. Forever and ever and ever. Friends, will you wait until it's too late? I trust not. I'm going to close with this story. I might have used this story before, but I don't make any apology for it. It goes so well with what we're meant to say tonight. Mr. Moody had taught a class of young people, And every person had trusted Christ with the exception of this one young man. Mr. Moody went to that young man and said, "Young man, why don't you receive Christ as your Savior?" "Oh," he said, "Mr. Moody, I'm going out west. And I'm gonna, when I make a fortune, I'm coming back, Mr. Moody. Then I'll trust him as my Savior." Mr. Moody went away with a sad heart. Some weeks later, that young man was taken sick, taken into the hospital. Mr. Moody thought he had to go see him. Mr. Moody says he went in and knelt by his bedside and again urged him to trust Christ. With a low voice, very faint voice, he says, "Mr. Moody, I told you before, I'm going to go out west a little bit later. When I make my fortune, I promise when I come back, I'll trust Christ." Mr. Moody went away with a heavy heart. The young man did get better. One day he came by Mr. Moody's porch, and he came running up and shook Mr. Moody's hands, and, "Mr. Moody, I'm going out west. I come to say goodbye." Mr. Moody says, "Young man, I plead with you again. Why don't you trust Christ as your Savior?" That young man took his hand away from Mr. Moody. Said, "Mr. Moody, don't you ever speak to me again about my salvation. Goodbye." And he left him. Mr. Moody says, "My heart was broken. I felt as if that man had sealed his doom." Says, "That night I got a knock on my door, a loud knock. And I opened the window and I looked out. I saw a young woman. I recognized her. I recognized her as this young man's wife who had spoken to that afternoon. Mr. Moody, please come. Please come. My husband's very sick. He's dying." Mr. Moody says, "I said to that young lady, it's no use for me to go. I believe he sealed his doom this afternoon. Please come. Please come." Mr. Moody says, "I put on my clothes." Says, "I'll never forget as I walked up those stairs. The door was open. I could see the young man lying in his bed with his eyes wide open, looking at the ceiling. And he was saying three words. Too late. Too late. Too late." Mr. Moody says, "I grabbed his hand. I opened the Bible. I tried to arouse the man. I tried to pray. But I couldn't arouse him. He seemed to be in a coma. And he kept on repeating, too late, too late, too late." Says, and then finally he got lower and lower. And one final whisper, and he went out into eternity saying, too late, too late. That's right. Friend, tonight I tell you that story as a warning. We looked at this rich man who waited till it was too late and did never receive mercy. We looked at the other four characters who received mercy. I tell you, I plead with you tonight, don't be like the rich man in hell. Don't be like that young man I just told you about. You're intending to be saved someday. Yes, I intend to do it. My friend, you could be up, wake up in the morning and be in hell forever. No escape, no doors in hell. You're doomed forever. Friend, but God is merciful. He's here tonight to show you mercy. Well, right where you're seated tonight, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand or come forward. But right where you're seated, why not like that publican? Say, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." And he'll save you right where you see. If you wait till you go out, you know you're going to get talking with the crowd and you're going to forget the message. Satan's going to take it away. Right where you're seated. We plead with you tonight. We plead with you. Don't play with your soul. Don't play with your soul. Why not trust him? Let us pray. Father, again, we remind ourselves, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by your Spirit. Father, we try to warn these dear people here tonight of that awful place. We try to show them that you're merciful and you don't want them to go there. You made a way of escape by giving your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross so where they could find mercy tonight. Oh, Father, we pray for those in here tonight who have never yet trusted the Lord Jesus. Spirit of God, we pray that they would not leave their seat tonight till they know beyond the shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is their Savior. We ask it in His name and for His sake. Amen. Could you be kind enough to sing one verse of 245 with me tonight? 245. If you are tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Listen at that chorus, are they pleading? Just now your doubtings give war. Friend, just now reject Him no more. Just now throw hope in the door and let Jesus come into your heart. If you've done that tonight, why not tell us as you go out? If you haven't done it, why not stay behind? We have so many people here would love to talk with, capable men and women who could show you the way. But I plead with you tonight, friend, if I were to hear tomorrow that a soul is going out into hell who was in this garret, I don't know how I would cope with that. Oh, friend, be kind to your soul tonight and trust Him. 245, the first verse and chorus in the meeting will be over.